Well, if you have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, go ahead and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to get into a little bit of chapter 5 as well, but won't dwell on it much, if at all, maybe later on down the road. But we're going to be dealing tonight with the walk of a minister. So often you hear messages on how you are to walk, and it's true that we ought to have a great walk with God, and it's true that we ought to have messages like that, but I don't think I ever heard of a message where the walk of the minister is important too. And hopefully I'll show you through Scripture some things that need to be aware of when it comes to those things. We're in a world today where we have some preachers that are behind the pulpit that are absolutely scary. And I'm going to get into just a little bit of it tonight, Lord willing. I won't dwell on it much, but just some things that we need to be cautious about. And hopefully we'll take that good tonight. Well, let's begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. I promise you I won't be long tonight. We'll always be out of here before 8 o'clock tonight. So it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home, and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful tonight, again, that we are able to come under the teaching of your word. God, I know that there are more qualified men that can give this word better than I can. But God, I rely upon you, and I ask that you just work in me tonight to give the message that you've laid upon my heart to your people. God, I pray it be a time of teaching. I pray it be a time of edifying as well. Again, we pray that you give strength and healing to our pastor. We know he wants to be here. We know what his desires are. But God, I pray that you just lift him up, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Well, as we just read this chapter and a few verses in chapter 5, let's begin to go back and explain some things. A preacher or a pastor, or you can put the word bishop there, you can put the word minister there as well. But no matter what name you put behind it, there is a certain walk that that individual must have. And it's a walk that's very important for them to do on a daily basis. Let me just put a word out here It's a word, legalism. I'm not talking about legalism here. So often when you begin to talk about living by the Word of God, many people in our society today, well, you're a legalist. No, I'm not a legalist. I'm convicted, and this is how God wants me to live my life. And that's the way that it should be. With that being said, I'm not going to pass my convictions upon you because these are mine. And you have your own convictions, and that's how life is. So it's not a form of legalism, but we have a requirement of how we are to walk with God. So with it not being a form of legalism, what is it then? It's a call to a godly lifestyle. That's what it's a call to. Every part, it's a call to godliness. Every part of a pastor's life, a minister's life, or a bishop's life that you can even begin to imagine, that person, that individual, will be examined thoroughly by many people. That's what takes place in our society. Every time a person gets up to the pulpit and they begin to preach the word, and you don't know them, you examine them because you want to know who they are. You want to know what they're talking about. You want to know what their beliefs are. And so they will begin to examine their lives. And sometimes when that examination begins to take place in the life of that individual, there will be a lot of critics that will come along the way. So a preacher will face many critics in his life. And that's okay. That's part of the job. And that's just how life goes. I'll never forget in a service I was at, I was saying something, and a guy just said something out of nowhere, just wanted to criticize me. And I'm thinking to myself, well, let's pray and end this service. Because I tell you what, that caught me off guard. I ended it very quickly. And began to examine what I said. I got to the pastor and I said, hey, can I talk to you real quick? Did I say anything wrong? He goes, no, you're absolutely right. And I had to get confirmation from him. But you will face critics, and that's okay. It's not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of people think, well, I'm being criticized. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because we need to be criticized on some occasions, and that's okay. But in some cases, it can be bad, because most of the critics that I have come across in my life are those who are never, ever wrong. And in many cases, are very prideful people. And all they want to do is nitpick at this and that and the other thing. And they really miss out on a blessing from God. So critics come and go. That's okay. Like the Word of God says, shake the dust off your feet. You know, as a minister or a preacher, you're not to get down on those things. Don't stay in the defense mode. Don't be offended all the time, but shake the dust off your feet and continue to move on. So what type of a walk is a minister to have? Because in verse number 1, we see that some preachers have walked away. Let's read this. It says, now that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in a latter time some shall depart from their faith. Again, understand that Paul is talking to Timothy here. He's trying to encourage him in his life, because Paul's not going to be around forever. And he knows that his time on earth is limited, and he's going to give Timothy the best advice that he can give in his life for him at this point in time. And it's very crucial for Timothy to take this advice and to apply it to his life. And so often, preachers walk away from their faith. I can give you on one hand preachers that you and I have come in contact at camp that have walked away from their faith. And that's sad. And I ask myself, why would they walk away from their faith? Well, it's very easy. They've put their eyes upon themselves. They've taken it off of God and put it upon them, and therefore they will walk away from their faith. And so some will walk away from their faith by giving in to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. And this is done, again, as I just said, their eyes are on the Lord, not on the Lord. It is shifted to themselves and is shifted to the world as well. Some will have done so by trying to stay hip. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there today that are trying to stay hip. You can turn on any channel with that's got some type of ministry going on there. I've done this. I've seen it many times. And there are many men that stand behind a pulpit that are in skinny jeans, holes, a shirt that's so tight they want everybody to see their muscles. I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with this picture? Who are they trying to please? Are they trying to let everybody see how good shape they are in? You know, as the older I've gotten, the more I want to cover up. It's so true. Because I've seen gravity take place in my life. You know, when I was a young man, I didn't have that problem. You know, but now as I've gotten older and you know, soon to be 50 here in a couple years, it's everything's going downhill. And so I do, you know, I'm okay. Put another jacket on me right now. That's fine. Cover this bad boy up. But that's what they do. They want to bring attention to themselves. And so they try to stay hip. And they want to be cool because they want to keep the younger people involved. And I'm all for keeping the younger people involved. We need to keep the young people involved. But there's a correct way to go about it. And so as they begin to do these things, they have allowed false doctrines to come into the church. I don't know if you guys know this, but there are many new translations that are out there that are designed for the younger generation. And I was appalled last night as I began to look up some of these things. And I began to read some of the words, and I was just dumbfounded. I'm going to share something with you. And it's called the Gen Z Bible. Has anybody heard of that? Gen Z. And I'm going to read some stuff from there that will actually floor you. I'm sorry, I got to do it on my phone because that's where it's at. And I'm not trying to be hip. It's just where it's at. Now, if I can get things to open up here. I'm just going to quote John 3:16. Who wants to quote that verse for me? John 3:16. Somebody quote it. KJV, right? All right, good. It's not the NIV, non-inspired version. It's not the ESV, easy study version. It's not that. It's the KJV. So the Gen Z Bible, and again, these are people that are trying to attract a younger generation. They're trying to bring people in to show that they're cool, to show that they're hip. And here's what John 3:16 says in their Bible. Remember what the Word of God says, do not add or take away. Remember, take this into consideration, okay? So John 3:16, their version is, God thought the world was so fire. He ghosted his literal son so that all of his hashtag followers would low-key live forever. Isn't that disgusting? This is what some preachers are going to attract younger people in. See, there is a proper way to walk. You can't walk with the world, because if you walk with the world, what are you going to gain? You're going to gain the world. That's what's going to take place. Genesis 1:3. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Here's their version. And God was lit. It's lit, fam, and it was lit, fam. You know, we kind of chuckle at these things, but this is what our young people are dealing with. And this is what preachers that have walked away from the faith and have given in to seducing doctrines are going to. And so young people are being filtrated in the church off of this stuff. Now, that's one version that I feel comfortable with telling you. There's three or four other versions that I will not tell you because of the verbiage that is in there. I can't even say those words from the pulpit. I can't even say them at home. That's how bad it is. And it's absolutely disgusting. So there's new translations out there that people are trying to attract in the younger crowd. They're walking away from the faith. The mockery of it really sickens me. And I'm sad to say that's winning a lot of people over. But it's easy to do when wanting to build a crowd instead of wanting to build people. See, the life of a minister as he begins to walk is not just to come and say, man, I want a crowd of 500 people. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But your desire shouldn't be the big of a crowd you desire, but it should be building people. Building people's lives so that they have a better relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they end up preaching false messages, leading people astray along the way. And I'm almost scared to even ask people that are involved in this church if they've even heard of salvation. I'm sorry, but if they're reading versions like that, they're not getting a salvation message. And so it's important for a minister, preacher, bishop, whatever name you want to put behind there, to stay close to God, cling to his faith, cling to his Father. And so they end up teaching false messages, again, leading people astray, and literally putting no thought or study time into the Word of God. Some folks have no idea what it takes for a 35, 40-minute sermon, the amount of time that's involved in there. And it's not just done at church, it's done at home. It's constantly on their mind. I was thinking about this last night, and I got a little fatigued, and so I sat down, and I started to rest just a little bit. My eyes got real heavy. Does anybody's eyes get real heavy about 7:30? Well, my eyes got real heavy about 6:45, and I decided, you know, I'm just going to lay down just a little bit. And as I'm laying down, I'm cautious. My eyes are closed, and I'm starting to drift off into La La Land. But, you know, I'm still constantly, my mind was still on this. And then I think I dozed off just a little bit. Then I heard a sound. It woke me up. And wouldn't you know it, I forgot everything I was thinking about. So there's a lot of thought. There's a lot of preparation into studying God's Word. So as we continue to move on here, there are a few things that a minister should be doing for the flock of God. And we read this. Where am I at here? Verse number 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So the first thing that a minister should do is to nourish or to feed the people that God has called them to serve. Feed the people. That's what nourish means. And sometimes, here's what takes place. Sometimes we get offended with what we are getting fed. You know, I've sat where you sat, and I got offended with what the preacher is saying. I'm going to say this. I don't care who the preacher is. Every time the Word of God's open, let's put away our critical hat. Let's put away our condemning spirit. And just let God speak to us. That's what we need to do. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. I get that. I understand those things. There's been times where I've been upset with Pastor for what he said. How dare he talk about me? That's what's going through my mind. Why do I do that? Because that's my critical spirit. And so I know if I do those things, you're doing them too. But don't reject the food that's being fed you. When the Word of God is open, feast upon it. You know why some people can't handle the meat of the Word of God? Because they have yet to get off the bottle. You talking about drinking, Chad? No, not the type of drinking you might be thinking of. All they're happy with is getting milk. There comes a time in our life where we got to put away the milk and say, man, I want to feast on the meat and enjoy what we're being fed. So the second part of the walk of a minister is to stay strong in his faith. We kind of went over that just a little bit in verse number 1. But don't let Satan try to steer you away from God. And that's what happens a lot, which is why a lot of people leave their faith. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, and I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Now remember, Satan's trying to steer us away. He will use anybody and everybody that is involved in our life. He'll also use false doctrines. He'll use false teachers. And so here's what Paul has to say about this in verse number 17, in verse number 18. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Mark them and avoid them. How do you stay true to your faith? How do you stay true to your God? By not giving in to seducing spirits, wrong doctrines, by marking them and avoiding them. That's how we overcome those things. Mark them and avoid them. A minister doesn't need to be hip or cool. What his desire should be is giving a true gospel to the people that God has called him to serve. And folks, we are fortunate to have a pastor of 48 years. We just celebrated 48 years here. We're fortunate to have a pastor of 48 years that has given us the word from God himself, from the very words of God. And I tell you what, we ought to be thankful for those things. Because if we didn't have that, guess what we could end up with? A Gen Z Bible. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want stuff like that. So we are, even with this that I've talked about, mark them and avoid them. Plain and simple. So he doesn't need to be hip or cool. Just serve God. Give the gospel. The third part of his walk should consist of properly teaching the correct doctrine. I'm going to put this in here. The pulpit is not a place to bully people. It's not. I've learned the hard way. I thought on occasions I can come up here and go off my little soapbox, but it's not a place for me to bully people. It's not a place for me to browbeat people. That's not my job. It's not my place to bring conviction to people. That's not my job. My job is to give the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. Let the Holy Spirit do the browbeating. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Plain and simple. So it's not a place for a minister to bully people. And so often it's misused. I have heard on many different occasions different preachers that would just bully their people from the pulpit. And the people had no respect for the pastor. And that's sad. So it's not a bully place. The correct doctrine is great, and I totally agree with that, but I'm going to follow up with this statement. It's completely worthless if it's not lived out or practiced in the life of a believer. You can preach all the correct doctrine you want, but if it's not going to be applied and lived in our lives, then what good is it? Honestly, what good is it? The fourth part of a minister's walk is to do this. And it's in verse number, where am I at here? Verse number 7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." So the fourth part is to walk away from profane and old wives' fables. And then proceed to continue to the walk of godliness. Shake off the ones who are trying to teach the doctrines of the devil, and those who forbid marriage, and those that they say not to eat meat. So walk away from those things. Don't get caught up in it. The fifth part of a walk of a minister is this. It needs to consist of proper exercise. And I would agree with you. Exercise for a person is great. It is. It's good for the heart. It's good for the blood pressure. It's good for a lot of things. I'm to the point now I work out just so I can eat better. You know, I'm going to work out later on tonight just so I can have a bowl of ice cream when I get home. You saying you're kidding? No, I'm serious. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to have some fun. And I'm going to get home and say, yeah, this is worth it. Got some ice cream right in front of me. I got some ice cream sitting at home in the freezer. It's called Moose Tracks. That's right. That's good stuff. It's got some fudge in there and some Moose Tracks. But it's not the Moose Tracks you're thinking of. But I'm going to look forward to having some of those things. By the way, I'm strange when it comes to ice cream. I get brain freeze a lot. And so you know what I got to do when it comes to ice cream? My wife thinks I'm crazy when I do this. And I might not be the only one who does this. Who puts their ice cream in a microwave for about 15, 20 seconds? Julie? There's three of us. We're going to have some ice cream later. It's the rest of the folks who are strange. Yes. But anyway, getting back on my point here. Consist of proper exercise. And that's not the one that we normally think of when it comes to bodily exercise, because we read here in verse number 8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life that now is and that which is to come. So bodily exercise profiteth little. The best exercise a person can get is exercising themselves in God's word. Plain and simple. How are we going to get to know God? By opening up his word. We can't get to know God when his word's closed throughout the week. And so we need to exercise ourselves in his word. You know, I don't care how much you read. I really don't. I just want you to open up the word. If it's a verse throughout the day, great. If you get something from it and you're growing from it, that's great. That's what you need in life. So bodily exercise profit a little, but we need to exercise ourselves in the word of God. And I have a long list here, and so I'm going to hurry up here. The list grows and says that our walk needs to be one that labors, meaning don't get lazy in the ministry. You know, one of the easiest places to get lazy is in the ministry. It truly is. You don't have a clock to punch in to go to work. It's easy for a pastor to stay home while everybody's at work. It's easy to do those things. It's easy to delegate everything else to somebody else. It's easy to do those things. But a minister, when it comes to walking with the Lord, is to labor, not to get lazy. The other thing that we need to keep on doing is keep trusting God and continue to teach. Paul pauses here in verse number 12. He takes a different turn here. It says, let no man despise the youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So as he pauses here, he's telling Timothy, don't let any man despise his youth. Meaning you have to carry yourself properly. Don't give anybody any reason, I can't even talk now, any reason to say he is too immature to preach the word. Goes on, he's supposed to be an example. Be an example. Continue to read, continue to exhort, and continue to keep going on for God. The life of a preacher, the life of a minister or a bishop, whatever terminology you want to put in there, isn't what most people think it is. I'm going to be honest with you. If someone came to me today and said, Chad, I'm going to go into the ministry, I'm going to do everything I can to discourage them. Because it's difficult. It's not as glamorous as a lot of people think it is. Why is it difficult? I'm going to give you some reasons to help you understand what a pastor will go through. It's lonely. There are some things that you just can't talk about to anybody else. It's become a weight to you. Which is why a lot of preachers have a lot of good other preachers in the ministry that they consider their great friends. So that they can call and get advice from one another. And that's great to have those things. Pastor has his. I have a few, and it's great to have. Why? Because it's lonely. Not only is it lonely, it's stressful and can be very intimidating at times as well. Very intimidating. But Paul here encourages Timothy to do what? To keep reading. The last thing that a walk a preacher is to have is one who will not neglect his gift. Timothy had a different gift, and every minister's gift is different. But to neglect a gift that God has given you is not godly at all. Now, I have a different gift from most people. Q's got a tremendous gift. He knows no stranger. Me, everybody's a stranger. The biggest introvert. Julie, she's got a tremendous gift. She knows how to play the piano. But you don't know her struggles, but God has given her a gift. I can't go up there and begin to play that. Jordan, he's got a gift. He's got a knack for sound. And so he's able to push those buttons and do those things. Nolan as well, he can figure some things out on that YouTube. We're kind of baffled right now that there's no sound. But if you want to have an idea what it's like to watch YouTube later on, here we go. I'm just messing with you. But it's a gift that God's given us. And when God gives us a gift, we use it. What's another gift that we can think of? Well, people have a gift of singing. I think if God's given you a voice, there's no reason why you shouldn't be singing. You know, Linda, she does this to me quite often. And God bless her. She will come up to me and just sing to me. Sunday morning, she came up to me during the middle of the service, and she sang three or four words to me, and blesses my heart. Linda, I can't walk up to you and sing. No way. That's crazy. I can't do that, but that's your gift. And I'm appreciative of those gifts. But every gift is different. And it doesn't stop here. He says to meditate on these things, and then to give yourself wholly to them. Every believer has a responsibility to keep walking with and for the Lord. Quitting is not an option. Some give up along the way, get too involved with the world, and that is where a majority of God's people fail. It's where a majority of ministers fail. I'm going to close with this thought, because we've been talking about walking with God. By the way, if you're a child of God, and I've been talking tonight about ministers, you say, hey, this doesn't apply to me. You're wrong, because you're a minister. You're to give the word out to God, out to the people. And that's your job. So here's my thought tonight. When we stop walking with God, I thought of this earlier. We stop, but God does not stop walking with us. Amen. He does not stop walking with us. We might ignore him, but he's right there, right by our side. I was growing up as a young person. There was a commercial out there, and it just reminds me of this. And I'm not comparing God to this by any way, shape, or form. But there was a doll out there, and I was growing up. It was called My Buddy. And I think they try to get young boys to play with this doll, My Buddy. And My Buddy and Me, does anybody remember that? Okay. Well, My Buddy was always by his side. That was the purpose of that. You know, when you walk with God, think about this. He's still walking with you. When you go into those undesirable places, whether it be somewhere in the world or somewhere on the internet world, guess what? God's walking with you. Think about that. Let that sink in. So as a life of a minister, can it be difficult? Yes. What's the job that they got to do? Keep walking with God. Plain and simple. Keep walking with God. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this age you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your words tonight. I pray that you just watch over us as we leave from here. Bring us back safely Sunday, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen.